Paddy McCormack, you're very welcome to Kerry for a start. Of course, you come down here regularly on holidays, don't you? You have good friends here?
No, indeed I do. I'm down here nearly twice a year. I love this part of the country because the Kerry people, they're lovely people. They're very friendly people. They're something like ourselves. When anyone comes to Offaly, we're the very same. But so that's what it's all about.
My namesake, Paddy Fogarty, he's often referred to as my uncle. He's a great friend of yours in Waterville.
Oh, Paddy Fogarty. I met Paddy Fogarty back in 1961, as a matter of fact. And we played football together with St. Brendan's in Birmingham. We won a championship in the league, junior championship in the league. And it was all started by Kerry men. Chairman at that time was Mick Shukro, which I worked with. Eddie Sullivan, John McCarty, as I remember, Walter McGee, all those guys in the 62, but we had a great crack. But when I first landed in Birmingham anyway, I was only there about 2 hours, and we were in the digs anyway, and the next thing the door got a rap, and there was a Kerry man at the door, and he says, "Christ boy, is McCormack in there?" And the landlady said, "He is." And he says, "I'm Mick Shukro." He says, "Would you come and play with us?" And now, I was only 2 hours in Birmingham, as you know, Wishy. So I said I would. So he says, "We have a christening tonight." And he says, "Yourself and your mate come to the christening." Well, I says, "I don't mind," because we didn't know where we were anyway. So I went off to the christening anyway. And that was Catherine Shukro. I think she was the eldest. And anyway, it was history after that. I went off and played with St. Brendan's. And they were all Kerrymen. Mick Shukro was from Sneem. And Paddy Fogarty and I worked together, and his brother Michael. And Paddy was a great forward, you know. As you know, I was down there the other weekend. He was retiring from the chairman after 18 years or whatever it was, and secretary. A great night, and great atmosphere, and lovely people, all GA people, the salt of the earth, really and truly.
Paddy McCormack, the Iron Man from Road, you had a long career. You made your scene at the Boer back in the 50s. Talk to me a little into your career, when you started and when you finished, Paddy.
Well, right, I started in 1956, played minor football with Offaly. Were beaten in the second round of the championship, I think, by Meath. And then the next year, we got to the Leinster final, and with minor again, and Meath beat us in the Leinster final. And they went on and won the All-Ireland, Beatty Armagh, and the All-Ireland final handy. So, and we were kind of robbed well, that time, we always said we were robbed, but there was a goal disallowed in the Leinster final. And anyway, I started then in the league of 57. My first game with Offaly Seniors in 57. I played centre field against Dublin. And the first guy I was playing on that day was Jim Crowley. Now, you know Jim Crowley, he was 6 foot something, and I was a brat of a goss one from the Midlands. Anyway, I wasn't too long on when they whipped me off. I wasn't getting too many kicks, I may tell you, but that was the start of it. And then we come back in the next year, then in 1958, I was corner forward. I started off corner forward with Offaly, and we played Louth. Louth is after winning the All-Ireland in 57. Well, I played in that league that year. I still was playing on the league. I was on and off as a sub, but I was always corner forward then. And in 58, then we played Louth in the first round of the championship, and I was still corner forward, and Louth beat us in the first round. And as you know, Offaly weren't very good at that time, was she? And we were only starting out. So 59 came along then, and we played Laois in Port Laois. And we drew with Laois, and there was a replay in Tullamore. But the Sunday before the replay, I was playing with Road in the first round of the championship. And I got a kick in the tummy, and I went up in hospital, and I was in it for 3 months. I ruptured the intestine of the stomach, and I was lucky to be alive, really. And the surgeon said to me after a while, after I come on back after the operation, he says, "Paddy," he says, "you will have to give up your football." But that didn't happen anyway, and in 6 months' time I was playing again with Offaly against Cavan.
Now, Paddy, who were the great names in that era from 57 up until 1960? We'd be talking about the All-Ireland shortly, but who were the big names that you came up against and names that played with and against you? Of course, the Louth team, as you say, they're the great team.
Dermot O'Brien was a big name that time, and I played in a guy by the name of Patsy Coleman, Jim McDonnell, Stephen White. Stephen White was a great footballer. He was a left halfback. He was one of the best footballers, left halfbacks I've seen. Now, Mick O'Dwyer played left halfback, and he was one of the greats, as you know yourself. But between them, like that time, they had their own positions. There was no such thing as running off of the ball that time. Everyone played their own positions. But you had the like of Kevin Heffernan and who else? Jim Crowley was a great footballer. Cathal O'Leary was a great footballer. And you had the Foleys. You had all of them around the 50s and 60s. And then, of course, we'll go back to the All-Irelands, then went down. But at that time, you had... who won the All-Irelands 69? Was it Dublin?
Kerry won it in 69.
No, 59.
59. Yeah. In 1959, Kerry beat Galway in the final.
That's right, that's right. Well, you see, you had Mick O'Connell, hadn't you? He was one of the greatest footballers ever I've seen.
Yeah. We'll talk about Mick soon now.
Yeah, right.
Coming up to 1960 then, a golden era was dawning for Offaly football, and you were involved in it.
That's right.
And you were going to come up and you were going to meet... The whole era of the game was changing, Paddy. The type of game, and Down were coming out of the north. One of the greatest football teams of the era. Yeah. Talk to me, because you were involved in plays and draws and replays and controversial penalties and everything else going. Talk to me about those Down meetings in 1661 and you coming out of Leinster.
Well, now... before we came out of Leinster at that time, Mick Casey, Tommy Green and myself were three subs on the Offaly team back to play Carlow in the first round of the championship. Now, I was only 20 years of age at the time, and Father Dorn was the chairman of, or he was over the team anyway, and Carlow was beaten Offaly that day by 3 or 4 points, maybe more anyway, and he introduced Tommy Green, Mick Casey, and he says to me, Paddy, he says, young McCormack, he says, didn't even say Paddy, would you go in corner back? He says, hey, Father, I don't mind where I play. So I went in number two, and that was the start of McCormack, Hughes and Egan in 1960. So anyway, we got a lucky goal against Carlow that Sunday, and the next day we were to play the winners of Dublin and Longford. So Dublin played Longford in Mullingar and they scored 10-14. 10-14. And Longford scored 3 goals and 9 points. Now, we were playing Dublin in the next round, the semi-final of the Leinster. And everyone said at that time that, oh, Offaly, they won't have a hope again Dublin. But in the meantime, if memory strikes me right, didn't Offaly bring in Peter O'Reilly to train us? And at that time there was no collective training, as you know, Weeshie. And we were the first county around there that had the collective training 3 nights a week. And Peter came in anyway, and he was really fantastic over the team. Now, we started anyway, and we were playing Dublin and Portlaoise. And I'll never forget this, Weeshie. I was only 20, as you know. He got me into the corner anyway, and he says, now you're playing, and one of the best footballers on Dublin, and the trickiest footballer is Kevin Heffernan, which he was a great footballer. And he says, now he'll go left, he'll go right, but you don't dive at all, he says, or if you do, he says, the ball's going to be in the net. Well, now you know, as a young guy, hearing all this and who you're going to play again. And he called me over and he says, Paddy, come here, I want you for a moment. This is as true as I'm standing or sitting here. He says, take a slug out of this bottle. And he gave me a slug out of a bottle. I didn't know what it was at the time, but it was brandy. Well, of course, the brandy started working anyway. So I could see 2 balls for a while anyway, but the ball came in and it went over our heads and Heffo got it anyway. And he went to go left and he went to go right. I stood. I don't know exactly what he told me. And he went to kick it then and I blocked it. And as soon as I blocked it, I caught it and I gave it a wrap and it went about 60 yards down the field and that was my confidence back. Heffo's didn't matter when I played in Kevin Heffernan, then I could master him. Well, I thought I could anyway, but he didn't score nothing anyway. And before the game was over anyway, that day, Offaly scored 3 goals and 9 points. And Dublin scored 9 points. We beat them 9 points that day. That was one of the greatest days in Portlaoise that Offaly had at that time. So we went on to play the Leinster final then, and we played loud in the Leinster final. It was one of the wettest days that came in the history of the GAA, I'd nearly say. Anyway, we beat Loud by a point. Loud, Kevin Beaton missed about 21 yards free anyway, and we that was the day Mick Casey won the Leinster for Offaly.
Was it long since Offaly had won Leinster, Paddy?
That was the first Leinster, Weeshie. That was, Offaly never won a Leinster up to that. That was our first Leinster final. And may
the celebrations, it must have been something very special.
Sure, Lord save us, do you know what? All Offaly went mad. It was all people that time, and they said that they didn't care if they died in the morning. Offaly was after the win. They seen Offaly to win a Leinster. And then we came on and we went on to play Down then in the semi-final.
What was the feelings about Down coming out of the North, Paddy? Did you expect them to be as great a team as they turned out to be? Or were you on a high after winning the Leinster? And were you not down to earth still?
We were kind of on a high, like. We didn't fear Down at all, really. And they had the greatest forward line in the country. But we didn't fear them at all. Because we knew nothing about them. Or they knew nothing about us, really and truly. And the first day we played Down... James McCartan got a penalty that day.
This was very controversial, though.
That was very controversial. He shouldn't have got it.
Yeah.
I'd say if Hughes was Greg Hughes' full back of the day, and he reversed back and let him come. He walked about 20 yards with the ball under his arm. And I won't mention the name, the referee, but he was from Waterford. And he gave a penalty, but he didn't go to his umpires and see what happened. That time, he just walked in and gave the penalty. And Down... They drew with us that day. They drew with us that day.
You were well on top. Were you 7 points ahead at one stage?
No, not that day, no, Weeshie. Yeah. Not that day.
Right.
No, not that day. But anyway, it was a replay, and they beat us 2 points in the replay.
Yeah.
That was 1960.
Yeah.
So, Offaly was on a high then, as you know. So the next year then, 61, we beat Dublin again in the Leinster final in Portlaoise.
Who were you marking that day?
Oh, the same old heifer. Mm-hmm. The same heifer.
Had you, what they say, the jinx in him?
Well, I had the jinx in him, kind of, you know. I thought I had, anyway, myself. But that was the day, the famous day that... No, I tell you, I'm sorry, I'm wrong there now. I wasn't marking Heffern that day. I was marking Blackie Cohen.
I played minor against him in 1959.
Well, anyway, the famous Blackie, I'll never forget, Weeshie.
Was he the first coloured player ever to play Gaelic football in Croke Park?
He was indeed. First coloured player. But anyway... That day, anyway, the Cathal O'Leary was centre field that day, I'll never forget, and Des Foley. And Blackie now wasn't too tall. Now, I wasn't a tall man myself. But anyway, the first ball came in, anyway, and he kicked right along the ground, about a foot over the ground. And Blackie got it, and he went round me like a flash of lightning. Anyway, he kicked it. I don't know whether he kicked it wide or over the bar. And says I to the boys now, says I, the next time he comes now, to be a different story. But anyway, the next ball he came in, anyway, the same thing happened. He got the ball, came in, and Hughes went to meet him. But I came round Hughes, and of course I clashed into him, and that was the last of Blackie Cohen for that day, anyway, may I say. And I got a famous name that time about Blackie Cohen.
What? Tell us about the famous name.
But sir, Blackie was a great footballer. He beat Meade on his own that year, Weeshie.
Yeah.
He beat Meade on his own. And then when I took him out of it in Portlaoise in 1961, up to the present day, everyone says, oh, do you remember Blackie Cohen? I'll never forget, I had a pub in Tullamore, and Dublin was playing in Tullamore one Sunday. And there was about, it was full of Dubs anyway, the pub, and there was a table anyway, and I went up and I said, hello lads, how are you doing? And he said, this guy says, do you remember that McCormack fella that hit Blackie Cohen in 1961? Says, I do you? He says, no, but he says, I'll never forget him. And says, you're talking to him, and the whole place erupted.
Did you ever meet Blackie Cohen after?
I don't think so, no. I'm not really sure, no. I thought I played against him again in a league match with Dublin, you know. That's going back a long time now, Weeshie, as you know yourself. Anyway, and I was always saying that we'd have to get him down to Rhodes sometime. Sure, life's too short for all this. When it's on the field, it's on the field. And when it was off, it is off.
I'm talking to Paddy McCormack, the legendary Offaly footballer, with the nickname the Iron Man from Road, is Patrick's Day here in Killarney, 09, and we're revisiting years gone by. Paddy, just getting back briefly again to the Down penalty that in the drawn game against you. It was a very, very controversial penalty, and I still meet people from Down and from Offaly to talk about that penalty, because really it wasn't a penalty. The Waterford referee was wrong that day, and the umpires verified it after.
That was no penalty at all, really, because I was talking to an umpire, or a guy afterward that I bought a greyhound off of, and he told me, he says, the referee never consulted the umpires at that time, which it wasn't a penalty. This guy told him coming home in the car that it was not a penalty because McCartan got the ball and he went about 10 steps with it. and he gave it a penalty. But anyway,
if he had beaten Down that day, Paddy.
Well, I think myself now, if we had beaten Down that day, Down, we could have been up there, not Down. Down was a great team. They were one of the best teams that went into Croke Park, as you know yourself. Neither Offaly nor Kerry could beat Down in Croke Park. But anyway, if we had to beat them on that Sunday, Down, I don't think it'd ever be Hertelef. Well, they might have been Hertelef, but they wouldn't have won in two or three All-Irelands in a row anyway.
That was 1960.
That was 1960.
The semi-final now. We'll come up now to 61 because you came up against them again.
Yes, well, we won the Leinster again. Then we beat Dublin in the Leinster final again in 1961. And we came up again. Who did we play in the semi-final in 61? I think it was Donegal, I'm not mistaken. Was it? No, it wasn't Donegal either. I don't know who it was. I forget now, anyway. Oh, it was Roscommon. Sorry, it was Roscommon we played. I must tell you a story about that. We played Roscommon that Sunday, anyway, and Roscommon scored 6 points and Offaly scored 2-3-6 or something. But the moral of the story was, after the game, anyway, Tommy Green had a great game. He scored 2 goals and 3 or 4 points. And Noel McGee, the larby good to him, he was a great GM and he played with Offaly, and he went up to Tommy after the game and he says, "Tommy, you know what?" He says, "You had a great second half." "Well, you know what, Noel, I had a great feckin' first two," he says.
Roscommon had great players that time, hadn't they? Legendary players.
That's right, Gerry O'Malley and Eamon Corley and all those guys who were all playing that time. But that was Tommy Green for you. I tell you, we had great times that time, and we're only after coming up, you know. And we had a good team. We had a really good team. That 1960-61 Offaly team should have won one All-Ireland anyway.
Now, you were meeting Down again in the All-Ireland final. Huge build-up to the course, great expectations. Talk to me around that.
Yes, well, the next year then we met them again in the All-Ireland final. That was the biggest crowd ever in Croke Park was in Croke Park that day, over 90,000. And controversy again. We were going great. We were 7 points up after about 10 minutes. And we thought, Jenny, we have them this time. But anyway, Down came back and they scored 3 goals in the first half. And it never happened before with an Offaly back line to lay in 3 goals.
What are your memories of those goals? I was at the game and I remember McCartan scoring one brilliant goal when he fielded, but he's back to the to the canal goal. Talk to me about the goals, your memories.
Well, now, in my memories anyway, McCartan got a ball centre field. And I know the sun was in our eyes, right? And McCartan came soloing the ball in and... What did he do? He had a cap on him. He took off the cap and he threw it at Mick Brady, right? And he sidestepped Mick Brady and he came flying in and he did score a wonderful goal. But anyway, and then Sean O'Neill scored another great goal. Sean O'Neill and the man I was playing, and Breen Morgan, which is dead and gone now, the Larby good to him. This high ball came in and Greg Hughes was full back, as you know, and him and PJ McIlroy went for the ball and I let Aurora Hughes to break the ball, you know. I was right in front and he, instead of breaking it, he stood back anyway and McIlroy got the ball and he just slipped it to Morgan. And of course, the rest is history. The ball was in the net before I knew where he was. But anyway, that was the first half. They were winning about 2 points the first half, and the second half then, there was only a pint or two in it at all stages. And Tommy Green got a ball and he was fouled in the square. There's no mistake about that. He was through out of the square that time. And the referee didn't give a penalty.
Who do we know the referee was?
Who was the referee? Was it Maguire or Cavan, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's it. I don't know. No, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I think it was anyway. But he didn't give the penalty anyway, which should have been a penalty. He gave a 14 yards free or something like that, and Offaly was beaten by 1 point. Now, there was 2 games that we were beaten in controversially. McCartan's goal in the first, or McCartan's penalty, and then the penalty we should have got. We should have got, but we didn't get. But anyway, it's all history now anyway.
Looking back at that Down team, Paddy, they had some real high-class players, hadn't they?
Ah, but sure.
What type of football did they play? How did you find playing against them?
Well, that time, they brought in the sharp passing a little bit. And they were flying. Like, you had James McCartan, you had Sean O'Neill, and you had Paddy Doherty in the half-hour line. Now, that was, in my opinion, that was one of the best half-hour lines that ever came out of the country. Never mind out of Down, but they were dynamite. And then you had the full forward, Tony Hatton, PJ McIlroy, and Breen Morgan. They were great forwards. And they had good Joe Lennon. I don't know who the other centre field was, anyway. And then you had Dan McCartan, and you had... Murphy, what do you call him?
Brian Murphy. Breen Murphy.
Not Breen, no. Anyway, it makes no difference. Murphy was full back. Leo Murphy. and you had Pat Rice. They were all great footballers, Weishi. They were a mighty team, a mighty big team. And in my recollection, Mick Casey got hurt at that Sunday. He got his collarbone broken in the first half, and I think if we had to have Mick in the second half, we'd have beat down in that All Ireland final. We're only beating a pint, and we should never have been beaten that Sunday. But that's the way it goes. You win some and you lose some, as you know yourself. But that was a great down team.
Around that era now, from when you came under, in 57 up till then, had you come up against Kerry teams in leagues or championships or anything? Had you any meetings with any great Kerry players at that time?
Oh, my God, you're right, I had, Weishi. I tell you, they taught me a lesson or two about football. I think it was 59, as a matter of fact. We played Kerry in the league semi-final. And I was playing on a man by the name of Jack Dowling. I don't know whether he's dead or alive.
From Maharis, he's alive and well.
I hope he's very well. I hope he's very well. He was a big bugger anyway, I'll tell you that. And you had Jerome O'Shea and Tiger Lines. And Mick O'Connell was centre field that day. Mick O'Connell, we had a guy by the name of Mick Ash playing with us. He was a Kerry man. He was a guard in Offaly. And Offaly scored the first point, but I think that was the only one that scored for the whole. I know they beat as well on that Sunday, and we just said, "Jeez, will we ever win any bloody thing?" You know.
Connell was in his prime around this time, Paddy. What are your memories of him, and why was he such a great footballer?
Mick O'Connell was one of the in my book, and football was tough at that time. You know, you could walk into a guy that time and hit him and do whatever you wanted to do, and. Mick O'Connell was 20 years before his time. If Mick O'Connell had been on that Kerry team that won 5 or 6 or 7 in a row, whatever they won, he'd have been, well, he was a genius anyway, and he's still in my book, one of the greatest centre fields ever I've seen.
After 1960 and 61, then those years when you were beaten, Paddy, was there a bit of a lull? You were still playing yourself. Was the team breaking up, and was there a lull?
Well, 1962 got to a Leinster final again, and Dublin beat us in the Leinster final that year, 62. And 63, then we came back again. I think Dublin won the All-Ireland 63. No, they didn't. Galway won the All-Ireland 63, didn't they?
That's right, yeah. They won in 63, 64, 65.
Yeah. There was a bit of a lull then from that up to 67. And then we came up and we were in the Leinster final in 67, and Meade beat us in the Leinster final in 67 by a pint or two. And Meade went on to win the All-Ireland. So, like, we were there or thereabouts, but then there was lads getting a bit edgy, and there was some lads retiring, and there was... they weren't bother playing with Offaly, if you know what I mean. There was new blood coming in, and it was hard to pick up a fair team at that time, you know. Offaly is a very small county, and to get 15 or 20 lads out of it, it was great to get that far in the 60s, never mind going to the 70s and all them years.
You remarked there that football was very hard and very tough at that particular time. Now, you're known as the Iron Man from Road. Where did you pick up that nickname, and why did you pick it up, and did you deserve it?
Well, I don't know. I suppose I deserved it, maybe. I don't know.
Why?
Well, I was strong. I had great strength in my body.
What height and what weight were you at your prime?
Well, when I was at my prime, I was 5'10.5" or 5'11", and I was about 12'4". That's when I was in my prime. And at that time, I worked at Lurie's. I had Lurie's. I was hauling stuff with Lurie's. And I used to be drawing corn and all this lark. And that time, it was only sacks. It wasn't bulk or anything like that. And I often took off 40 ton of corn on my shoulders every day for in the week. Not in the week now, but every day. And you can imagine taking off 40 ton of corn on your shoulders and walking, say, 20 yards with them and throwing them over your head into a pit. You'd be as strong as an ox. And then come up again a lad maybe that's pushing a pen. Well, no, he wouldn't have much of a hope, would he?
Were you conscious that you were so strong and that you could use your strength against the opposition? Did you deliberately go out to mix it?
Not really, no. I'd go for the ball, right? And if there was anyone in the way, that was their hard luck. And that's what we were taught. When I was growing up, playing even with Road, I played with Road, I won a championship with Road in 1958, my first senior championship with Road in 1958. And we were told, if there's a ball the other side of the opposition, you don't go around them, you go through them, or else that you're taken off. Well, now, may I say, and you were a Kerry man and you played with Kerry, Kerry done the same thing in them years. They didn't go bother going around you. They went through you too. Yeah. Fair enough. It was on the game. And I think at that time, it was better football than it is today, may I say. That's my opinion now. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But I think the art of the game's gone out of it now. All you want to be now is a good athlete to run. Yeah. You don't have the art of going up. The art that time, Weishi, was to go up in the crowd, like Mick O'Connell used to do long ago, and take it down out of the air and go with it. That was the art of football that day. And may I say, there was no such thing as pulling jerseys, or you got a rattle, but there was never just pulling the jerseys or bickering or falling down and saying you're hurted. You wouldn't fall down and say you were hurted, because if you did, the guy that was over, you'd take you off, and that was it. You kept going, and I got some rattles in me time, and I'll tell you, I could have lay, but if I lay down, if I had to lay down, the whole Crow Park or wherever I was playing, it interrupted, and that's why I wouldn't play them, and I was often in pain, and I wouldn't lie down.
Where did the name come from, the Iron Man from Road? Have you any idea who christened you that?
Mihalo Hare, I think.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't know why now, don't ask me why, but... I suppose we were tough. We were tough. And sure, I played on Mick O'Dwyer. Mick will tell you, I done nothing to Mick O'Dwyer. Still walking around today as good as I am, and there's nothing done to him. We played a tough, hard football. Tough, hard football. We came from a little village called Road, as you know. And they had always great footballers. We won a championship in 58, Weishi, with 15 county men. Ex-county men, if you know what I mean. Yeah. That's some, well, I know at that time to play with Offaly, it wasn't a big deal, but still, there was 15 ex-county men playing. And that was some achievement, and we went out and won the 58 championship.
How many county championships have you with Road?
I have four.
Yeah.
I have four championships with Road.
How many Leinster championships have you played?
I played in 8 Leinster finals, we see, I won 5.
Yeah. Did you win, would you have the most?
Ah, oh, not at all, no. Oh. Furlong and them lads that have the most, you know.
Yeah.
I won 2 Rewa Cups as well, 61 and 2.
Yeah, actually, and we talk about we're doing this interview here now in the Hotel Europe on St Patrick's Day, so it's right that we talk about the Railway Cups on St Patrick's Day. Are gone now; they're nearly gone completely. But they were a huge thing, weren't they, in your time?
Ah, but we should look at it. If you got picked for Leinster one time, I'll never forget that time. Back in the 60 and 61, when Offaly won the first Leinsters, that time they used to pick it. Offaly played the rest of Leinster. In 1960, we won the first Leinster. 61, say, before the first Railway Cup. Before the Railway Cup was always in February, whatever it was, January, February. And there was a trial game in Tullamore. Offaly played the rest of Leinster, and I was playing in Heffer again. Heffer was a big nice around my time. Anyway, but before that, Mick Casey was a neighbour of mine, and we went out into a field of a Christmas day, and the snow was in the field to do a bit of training. He came for me to train me to get on this Leinster team. That was the biggest honour now you could get that time, to play on Leinster. As a matter of fact, Mick Casey played with Leinster, and he played against Paddy Kennedy. It was the great Paddy Kennedy out of Kerry here.
Yeah.
Back in 1954, I think that was now. But anyway, we trained like devils, and by God, that Sunday in Tullamore, I gave an exhibition. I'm not being big-headed or anything. And I got Sports Star of the Week, and Offaly was beaten. And that was a big thing that time. And I got on a Leinster team, and I couldn't get off it then. I was on it for years then, you know. I won 2 Railway Cups in 61 and 2.
Who were the big names that you came up against and played with?
Well, now, the big names that came up, there's one big name anyway, and it was a great friend of mine, John Dowling.
Lord have mercy.
The Lord of good to him, is right. He was full forward that time for Munster. Munster had a good team that time, sure they had, and Leinster had a good team, but and then we went to play Ulster in Belfast in 61, or I don't, yeah, I think Down was after winning the All Ireland in 1960. We went up to play them in the semi-final, and of course they had all the Down players again, and we thrashed them above in Encasement Park. That was one of the big days now, and especially playing for Leinster. Now you had great footballers playing with you, you know, but there were 6 Offaly men and the Leinster full backs. There was 6 of us. There was McCormack Hughes and Egan, Mickey Brady and Charlie Wren. And Paddy Holland was the centre halfback.
Are you sorry to see the demise of the Railway Cups?
Ah, oh, sure, that was the big thing in our time, as you know yourself, Weishi. Sure, at that time you get 50 or 60,000 people in Crow Park on St Patrick's Day. Now you wouldn't get 100 people in. Well, you will now for the clubs now. It's gone different now. But it's a shame that it deteriorated.
But they're bringing the Railway Cups out to Dubai and out to Boston and New York and out to San Francisco and Hawaii and all these places. Did you come up the wrong time, do you think?
Well, I think we did, but sure, they had no money to bring us anywhere that time, back in them years. I'm going to tell you a story. After we beat Dublin in 1961 in Portlaoise, it was a real hot summer's day. And we all went down to the hotel anyway, and Ronnie O'Brien, the Larby Goodham, was the secretary of the county board, and he got us all together in a little lump, wishy. Now, there was none of us drinkers, or, do you know what I mean? And he says, lads, come on, out to the yard. There's a bar in the yard. He says, I'm going to write a cheque for 100. He says, this is the best day as ever I'll see. I might never see them again.
Now, I'm talking to Paddy McCormack, the legendary Offaly footballer. Paddy, of course, coming up then to the late 60s and into the 70s, it was a new dawning for Offaly. Great players coming on the scene. You were still there, and you were meeting up against Kerry and more great teams. Had you received any injuries that threatened your career, and why did you stay on so long?
Well, I did, Wishy. I got a collarbone broken, which was very little anyway. I got my ribs broken. But back in 59 now, I got a very serious injury. I got a kick in the tummy, and it ruptured the intestines in the tummy anyway. And it was 3 months. It took me 6 months before I got over that one. But then again, that's life. You get over it. You're young, you're hardy, and you get over it. And even the surgeon told me never to play football again. But sure, I was back playing after 6 months. But anyway, going back to the 67... Mead beat us then, and all our lads then was beginning to go, you know. Greg Hughes, all them boys retired they retired in 1970. But back in 67, Mead beat us a couple of pints. Then we came back in 68, I don't know who beat us in 60, but we got the Leinster final. We won the Leinster final in 69.
There was good minors coming through now, wasn't there?
Oh, God, there was. You had Tony McTeague and Kevin Kilmurry and a lot of the 64 lads. Martin Furlong, which was one of the greats, as you know yourself, them boys were coming into the scene, and they were all beginning to come in, and all the 60 lads were beginning to evaporate. But 69 was nearly the last time most of the 60 team and 61 team played with Offaly.
Who survived from the 60-61 Offaly team to go on to 69-17-71 outside of yourself?
Well, there was no one really. I was the only guy that won the first Leinster with Offaly and won the first All-Ireland with Offaly. None of the rest of the guys stayed around. They all retired. Well, they retired after the 1970 Leinster final, some of them anyway, because we thought we'd that one won. I wasn't playing that year, Wishy, because I'd done the tendon in my leg, and I was out for 12 months that time with the tendon, and I thought I'd never come back, really, but I kept going and going and going, and I got back into the 71, but Hughes and Egan and all them boys retired in 1970.
Now, 69, then you met Kerry in the All-Ireland final. Talk to me about 1969.
69, anyway, we thought we'd beat Kerry in 69, I tell you the truth. Well,
who was training around this time?
Who the hell Father? Oh, I tell you who was training. It's Father Tom Scully.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, I was only speaking to him the other day. But anyway, we got to the All-Ireland final, and we beat Cavan in the semi-final in our replays. And we thought we had a great chance of winning the All-Ireland in 69. But sure, Kerry again... It's very hard to keep big Kerry in an All-Ireland final. It's like one time we were, I'll tell you about that later. We were in a hotel anyway, and all the Kerry lads were one side and Offaly lads were the other, you know, after the 72 All-Ireland. But I'll tell you that about that later. But 69, it was a very wet, well, it was a windy day.
Very windy day, yeah. I was sub-goalkeeper for Kerry that day, so I had a good view of you.
Yeah, but I was playing on the famous Mick O'Dwyer that day.
Yeah.
Mick O'Dwyer, who was full forward? I think it was Liam Higgins.
Liam Higgins, Latimer Sinem.
That's right. And Mick Gleeson was the other side, wasn't he?
That's correct, yeah.
That's right.
There was no goal scored this day, no.
There was no goals. There was only 8 or 10 pints to 8 or something like that. Yeah. And I know myself that Johnny Cullity's stopped a shot off of Sean Evans the first 5 minutes of the second half, and I suppose if that had to go in, we would have beaten Kerry the same
day. That was probably the turning point, Paddy, the ball, when Evans got the ball at the Kennell goal, at the railway goal,
That's right.
And he's just turned around and swivelled, and Cullity went away down to his left and brought off a brilliant save.
How decisive
was that?
That was the whole thing. That was between the winning and losing of it. If we had to score that goal that day, I'm fully convinced we'd have beat Kerry that day, because we had a storm. And there was another guy who played a great game that day, DJ Crowley, centre field, along with Mick O'Connell. The two of them played very good that day. And
Were you expecting to win that final, and why?
Just wish you were long enough there. And we said this was the last hooray, you know. We got to the final and we should have... We said if we don't win this one, we'll never win in All-Ireland. Like, we were after playing in one against Down, you know. And we had a lot of experience. Like, it's all about experience when you go to Croke Park. Because when you go up there at Red Gossoon, it's a big difference in playing in Croke Park and playing in Road. it's chalk and cheese, really, and truly. But and there was enough of us there, like, to steer the ship to win the All Ireland.
How did you find the wire marking him, and how did you find him on the field?
Dwyer was a tough coach. He was a good footballer. Let's put it that way. He was a great wing halfback, and he went up a great forward. He was a great forward, a great footballer. All round, he was great. And not alone that wishy. He's a gentleman to the backbone. Anytime I come down to Kerry and if I go down to Waterville, the first man I look for is Mick O'Dwyer. And the first man that'll come to you is Mick O'Dwyer. Along with his favourite partner, Paddy Fogarty. Yeah. Paddy was a great friend of Mick O'Dwyer's, you know. Yeah. And all the Kerry boys in where I played with now. Mick Shuckon and Eddie Sullivan and all these boys, they were fierce Mick O'Dwyer men and Mick O'Connell men.
How difficult was it to put the defeat of 1969 behind you? You were coming into 1970 now. Did you think of retiring, and did anything cross your mind?
Well, now, to be truthful, Weishi, I'm going to tell you the truth. In 1970 then, didn't I pull the tendon in my leg? I ruptured it completely. And I had to go out into the and get it operated on to get it stitched back. And I had a high heel for about 6 months. As a matter of fact, I was working in Dublin at the time and I had to give a drive.
What age were you at this stage, Paddy?
I was 31.
Yeah.
And I thought I'd never come back. I thought the leg had never come back. Like, you know, a tendon severed completely. I went up for a ball one night and didn't I think there was somebody out there hitting me, kicking the leg, you know, and the tendon ruptured completely. And anyway, it was all the year of 71 out. And I started training in 72 in the Phoenix Park. I was working in town at the time. And Patsy Rouse and myself started to run around the polo grounds in the Phoenix Park. And I'd run maybe 50 yards and I'd have to stop. And he'd say, come on now, keep coming. So we kept at it and at it and at it. So be Jenny, the rest is history. We got fit again anyway. And this leg was giving me trouble. And the morning of we went to play Longford and Mullingar in the first round of the championship. And I said to Josie, that's the wife, if this leg goes today, that's me finished. I'm going to play no more football. She you'll be long enough in the corner. She keep at it. But now it was her more than anything else that kept me going. And fair dues to her. And I was the only one of the 61 and 2 team that was there. And they put me in full back, as a matter of fact, Weishi. And full back wasn't my position at all because I wasn't big enough for full back. You know, you want to be tall for full back. But then, if I wasn't tall enough, maybe I had it other ways. But and then I had Mick O'Rourke one side and Mick Ryan the other, and I had to we had to get to know one another.
And Martin,
you know,
Furlong behind you.
And Martin Furlong, he was another backsman. Yeah. And I tell you that, I can hear him still in my ear shouting, "Come back, come back, come back!" And if you remember, in 1972, Dan Kavanagh got a ball, I think it was, in behind me. In the drawing game, and Furlong came out and took him ball and all over, but that was Furlong's style, you know, and it was mine too, I suppose, but he was a great one. Furlong was a great one.
So you reached the final in 1972 and you were playing, you met up against Kerry. Talk to me about that and the finish of that game and then the replay.
Well, now, we had a good team, like, and, well, we beat Galway in 1971 and everyone said, we never won an All-Ireland until you beat Kerry. So, because didn't Kerry came to Tullamore.
So, before we go on to Kerry, now talking about 1971 and that win.
Oh, yeah.
And the wet day in Croke Park.
The wet day in Croke Park. But we won the Leinster again in 71. We beat Kildare. Kildare was red hot favourites. And we went into the dressing room. I'll never forget this, Weishi. And Kildare was to kick his back into Offaly. But anyway, I got the boys in the corner. I was the old spokesman. I got all the backs together and everything. Now, lads, we've nothing to lose here. All we have to do is go out, and nothing with a white jersey. hit it for the first 15 minutes. For the first 15 minutes. And the referee never say anything for the first 15 minutes anyway. You'll get away with it. And holy God, would you believe this? It was the first 40-minute game, or 40-minute half, 80-minute game. Yeah. That was the first one. Yeah. And at halftime, we were winning 14 points to one. That'll just tell you now. And we were all shocked when we went in at halftime. We didn't know what to say, whether to keep going. We didn't know what was going to happen, whether we'd fold or keep going. But anyway, we won that game by 14 points. And we met Cork then in the semi-final. I know I was working in town anyway, and Sean O'Callaghan got me in the radio, or one of the guys got me in the radio the night before we played, or a Friday night that time. We used to be on the radio, you know. They get in some fella talking for offering, they get in somebody for talking. But he got me in, and I was playing in Ray Cummins. Now, Ray Cummins was 6'3" or 6'4".
Great hurler and footballer.
A great hurler and footballer. And they were saying, how are you going to play Ray Cummins? You see, I was so small and he was so tall. Well, now, says I have my own ideas about playing Ray Cummins. I'm not going to tell you on the radio how I'm going to play. We'll see next Sunday how I play him. But anyway, we beat Cork in the semi-final.
What plans had you to play him, by the way? You can reveal it now, because you're not going to be meeting him again on the field anyway. What were your plans for him?
My plans was to be out in front. And he'd have to get the ball then. If you were a step in front, especially at that time, and have your two cornerbacks warned what you were going to do, when the ball was coming in, be out in front. So you had to play him then. But I'm going to tell you a little story about the same thing. The first ball came in and went under the Husick stand. And Cummins raced out. He was a very fast man now. And I was fast too, would you believe it? He got the ball anyway. And I blocked it on his toe, Weeshie. And I had it in my hand like this, my hand rounded here in my chest, and he was standing over me, and I held my fist under the ball, and I hit him in the chest, you see, a rap, you know. And the next thing, he turns around, and he hits me a box on the side of the head, you see. And Mick O'Rourke came in and hit him, and the referee came over and took Cummins' name. That I had Cummins, I had him that day then. It was all over then, says I, now we have them. Anyway, we beat them anyway, we should. These are the tricks of the trade, you don't tell them. I don't like talking about them, but that's what happened that day.
No, you were meeting Kerry again. Was the fact that you were meeting Kerry, meeting the green and gold, what effect does that have on a team outside of Kerry, meeting the Kingdom in an All-Ireland final? Does it mean something extra? Does it put more pressure on you? And does it kind of, as the fella said, get you going more?
Meeting Kerry in an All-Ireland final, I played in Kerry, I played against them before. I was the one that did play against them before in 69. But some of the lads did, Mike Dingan didn't play as well, but there's more pressure on you. You're coming up against one of the best teams in the country. And you have to be as good or better. You have to be 50 times better than Kerry to beat them, if you know what I mean, Weeshie. But anyway, we went up to Dublin that day and we said, look, we're going to have a good go at this and going to try and win this. But
anyway, was the priest still training you?
Oh, Father Gilloley. Yeah. Father Gilloley used to always get up in the dressing room, you see, that time, and he'd say, and may Our Lady protect us. And then some of the lads would get him out of the dressing room. You know how they said after that, Our Lady won't be in here if we're beaten. But anyway, the first game anyway was a draw game. And we're all out in the hotel. I was going to tell you this before.
Sorry, he wouldn't say Our Lady protect the opposition, would he?
No, he wouldn't say that.
He was a bit one-sided.
He was a bit one-sided. May Our Lady protect us. But anyway, Our Lady be no good in the middle of Crow Park, may I tell you. It doesn't matter how much you like her or how much you don't like her. But the replay then.
Stay with the drawing game now for a minute.
Yeah, the drawing game. We all went to the Burlington the next day. You know, the game used to be shown live on telly that time. After the Monday after the game, you know, the two teams would be there, and we were all in the folly of the hotel anyway. And there was Kerry lads here, and there was Offaly lads here, but Sean O'Shircon was the general at the time. Of course, he didn't come to the Offaly lads, he went to the Kerry lads. You see, being a Munster man, he had to go to the Kerry lads. And he says to them, well, boys, he says, what do you think now? And this gentleman says, don't you know, Sean Og, we were never beaten in a replay, which was the truth.
Yeah.
Galway was the last time to beat Kerry in a replay in 1938.
Yeah.
And Offaly come out the next Sunday and they beat them in the replay. But that put fire in our bellies.
Yeah.
That put fire in our bellies, because I heard it and a few more of us heard it, and we went home. And we started to train again. It was shocking to have to go back to train, you know, after all the training, and start all over again for a replay. But
who drew the replay, Paddy? Your memories of the drawing game. You had your memories of the actual playing there.
Well, Jenny, I can't tell you who. I know we were winning 5 or 6 points up to, and then it was nearly a draw at half time. I'm not really sure now, Wish. Yeah. I don't know who drew it, whether it was Kerry or Offaly. I'm not really sure. But all I do know is that Fintan Tierney was refereeing it. And he should have given us a free that he didn't give it. But anyway, that's all history as well. But
so you were well G'd up for the replay.
And we were well G'd up then for the replay, because after hearing this Kerryman saying they were never beaten in a replay, that was the best thing that could have happened to Offaly lads. Now, it made no difference to Kerry, because Kerry would be back the next year, the next year, the next year. But we all went back to train. And any time there was a talk in the dressing room, it always came up about what the Kerryman said, that they were never beaten in a replay. And was one guy go up and he said, "Oh, by God," he says, "they'll know again the replay is over." Now, the replay, we were very lucky. Pádraig Donoghue and the goalie, what was Fitzsimons?
Eamon Fitzgerald.
Fitzgerald. That misjudged the ball anyway, that hopped into the back of the net. And the whole game turned that time, Weishi. I think, as a matter of fact, I think Kerry was winning by a point at the time.
Yeah.
And the whole game turned, and Willie Bryan then started to go to town in centre field.
Yeah.
He caught every ball that came out. He could do nothing wrong that. It fell into his hands that day, because... Jenny, before we knew, we were 6 or 7 points up. Of course, once you get a lead like that, then there's nothing going to stop you, because all you have to do then is defend, as you know yourself. Not like Tommy Dyle, I was going to say, back in 82. But anyway, that's what happened. And we beat them 9 points in the replay.
The biggest defeat that Kerry ever suffered in an All-Ireland final.
That's right, in a replay anyway.
In a replay anyway, yeah.
I don't know about a final, but that was one of the biggest defeats they got.
Do you think that if Offaly hadn't scored that fortuitous goal that day when the ball hopped between Eamon Fitzgerald and the late Pádraig Donoghue into the roof of the net, do you think that Kerry would have gone on and won?
Well, no. Isn't that debatable? I don't know. I can't answer that question, because it was... tip and go, but Kerry were kind of getting the run on us at the time. They were getting the run on us at the time. And when that goal went in, the whole thing changed. The whole thing changed, Weishi. And Offaly could do no wrong. The ball just fell into Willie Bryan's hands.
Yeah.
He went up all right. He caught great balls. And we kept the pressure on Kerry. And then the scores had to come.
Who were your big men that day then?
Willie Bryan, anyway. Mm. Look, at when you win an All-Ireland, they all have to play well. Mike Teague, sure, any time there was a free, Mike Teague was nearly sure to score it.
Yeah.
He was a great free taker. He was one of the greatest forwards ever we had, anyway, or one of the greatest forwards in the country, in my book, anyway.
Yeah.
Then you had Kilmurry and Cooney. Great, they were... But Cooney got knocked out that day, and Mulligan got knocked out that day in the replay.
Yeah.
Two of our best players.
Yeah.
And I know if we had to know going up that them two boys wouldn't be playing after 5 or 10 or 50 minutes, you'd say awfully you'd no hope. But we had great subs to
You were marking the late Liam Higgins.
I was, my God.
What's your memories of Liam?
Well,
tall, rangy.
Tall, rangy.
Hardy.
Athlete.
Yeah.
Nice guy. I know people said at that time that it's easy to say it now that he kind of ran away from me that day. But that's all bull. He didn't run away from me. Just the ball didn't go right for him. And I was the one that was the lucky one, really and truly. You
did
know?
You find, Paddy, that when fellas at Macco, they'd be looking apprehensively at you? Did you find certain players might, as the fella said, shy away a bit from your times? Did you know the fellas were doing that? Because you had the reputation.
Yeah, but I had the reputation, I suppose, really and truly. But... there's lots of things wrote that never happens. Like there was a book come out lately in Connacht, and Mickey Cairns wrote on it. The first time he played with Connacht was against Leinster, and I was playing, and I drew a line across the field, and I said to Cairns, "You're going home tonight." And he says, "I am." "Well, if you are, stay outside of that line." Now, I don't know whether that happened or not, but there was no one ever...
Did you ever speak to a forward and tell him something like that? "Be careful, or don't come inside there." Or...
But sure, that was the game that time.
Well, you did it?
I did.
Yeah.
Don't come back. Yeah. Don't come back.
Now, you were after winning your second All-Ireland medal. You were after winning 71 and 72. Mm. I mean, it must have been a dream come true for you.
Oh, God, it was. I was 32 and 33 when I won them. And it was a dream come true, Weishi. I never thought in my time that I'd win 2 All-Irelands. And that is the truth. And we put Offaly in the map, as a matter of fact. And then the hurlers coming up then in a couple of years' time and winning All-Ireland. So that was the icing on the cake for us. There was only 40,000 people in Offaly in my time. 40,000 people, and all the football was played in North Offaly. There was very little in South Offaly. Like, well, we got McTeague over for Ban, and the Lowrys and all them lads, they came over for Ban. But other than that, it was all North Offaly. Road, Tullamore, Dangan, Eton, Derry. They were the four big clubs at the time. You know, there was only eight senior clubs in the county at that time. And that's why football was so good now, Ishi. Now there's 14 or 15 clubs, and they're not senior clubs, may I tell you now, and that is the truth.
Paddy, your career was coming to conclusion now after the 72 final.
Yes, indeed it was. But anyway, I played in the grounds tournament, Wishy, and I got a bad injury. Partially last one, the sides of my eyes, and I was in eye and ear for a couple of weeks. And
how did that injury come about?
I went up for a ball, and as you know yourself, some lad went to punch it or some bloody thing, and instead of punching the ball, they punched me in the eye anyway, in the nose, and I had to go to eye and ear then for a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Did you save the sight of the eye?
Partial of it, yeah.
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 The right eye, is it?
The right eye, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Now, but you still didn't give up?
Well, I had to give up for a while, you know, because the specialist told me if I went on playing I might have to lose the eye, you know. He saved it from losing my eye, but because I had to lay me back for 2 weeks in there where it was hemorrhaging inside, you know. Yeah. But so that's...
Did you come back and play then? When was your last game?
Well, then that was 62, that was 72, 73... I was a selector in them teams, the one that I learned.
That's right, I was going to say that, Jones. You were a selector in two teams. But tell us, and you were playing.
I was playing as well, yeah. I was, because I was the oldest guy there, and I was a selector along with Al O'Kelly and Sean Brereton. Sean Brereton now played with Offaly, Al O'Kelly played with Offaly, great footballers. And I was a selector with them.
When your position came up as to be selected before the matches, what was that like?
Sure, look, it was like everything else. They weren't going to drop me anyway. I wasn't playing bad enough to be dropped, I suppose. But anyway, then the eye injury then, that affected me for 73. And 74 I came back then, and I was a sub in 74. And they wouldn't put me on again, Dublin. Dublin won the Ireland in 74, I'm sure. I think they did anyway. And they beat Offaly by a pint. And I wanted to go on. And they said, no, Paddy, no, don't go on, in case anything might happen. So that was the end of my...
What did they mean, in case anything might happen?
In case anything might happen, the eye, you know. Because it was in the danger list, you know. And if anything happened, they didn't want to be responsible, as you know yourself.
So was that your last time sitting with an Offaly jersey?
That was the last time in the Offaly jersey in 1974.
And you started in 1957.
And I started the first time I started was 56. Yeah. 56 to 74 with minor, and 56, 57 minor, and then 57 league.
What was your favourite memory out of your career, Paddy?
Well, my favourite, I loved cornerback. I loved number two. Seamus Murphy used to play on number two as well in my time. I think Seamus is dead too, isn't the Lord be good to him. But there was great cornerbacks, and Donnie O'Sullivan was another one, a great friend of mine as well. We lived together in Blanchardstown the time Offaly and Kerry met in 72. We were right beside one another, along with Micheál and Murtagh.
Yeah.
We were under the same roof as Micheál and Murtagh, and he used to come out, well, Paddy, what do you think? Says I, Micheál, we'll hammer you the next time. And we used to have great fun. We're all good friends, and still are good friends, and that's what it's all about. It's all about good friends.
What win gave you the most satisfaction?
Well, now, winning the first Leinster. And now, although I was only a young lad, but that was a big thing at that time for us.
Because it was the first for the county.
First. And winning the first All-Ireland. I thought we'd never win an All-Ireland, Wishy. And, with a small population, and, you know, lads has to come up. And the 64 minor team was the team that came on then, you know. The 64, they won the All-Ireland 64. And them lads came in the late 60s and the early 70s. And... Look, at when you have 15 or 20 lads, that at that time, in 71 and 2, there was lads playing with Leinster, there was only subs in the Offaly team. Now, didn't that just tell you? And Seamus Darby was only a sub, and though he was a good footballer, but there were only subs, and there were only young lads.
Yeah. You're married to Josie, you have five children. Right. Tell us about your family.
Well, we have five kids. There's two lads and three daughters. We have nine grandkids. There's one lad, a great footballer, and they fecked him up a bit at home in the club, and he gave it up. He was in the Offaly minor panel, and they dropped him for what reason, I do not know. But anyway, I suppose, being his grandfather, I thought he shouldn't have been dropped, but he shouldn't, because he was flying at the time. He was very fast in Everton, and they were moving him from Billy to Jack, and he gave it up then. He's going to college now. He said he's going to come back, whether he does or not, I don't know. And I have another young lad, he won a Leinster rugby medal here last Saturday, playing with Eton Derry under 15s or 16s.
What was his name?
John McCormack. Yeah. And the other guy was Patrick McCormack.
Any relation to the great singer, John McCormack?
No, anything? I don't think so. Can't no. Him anything, no. Yeah. There used to be a story that time, Weeshie, when Offaly won the first All-Ireland, the Yankees came around Bourne. They were looking to see where the great John McCormack was. So this Yankee stopped with this guy this day, and he says, "I'm looking for the famous McCormack," he says. And your man says, "Which of them?" He says, "Which is a John or Patty?" I'm not being big-headed,
I know,
though, right?
I know.
But that's the story that goes on, you know.
Paddy, huge change in the game today. Now, we have these new rules now where if you touch a fella, you get a yellow card and you're put off. What's your views on the present day rules of the game?
Well, I have no time for it at all, really and truly. It started out as a man's game, and it should be a man's game. And sure, it's scandalous to see a guy getting a black card if he only shoulders a guy now. And then the next time a yellow card. And the next time gone. So that's not football at all. It's not, in my book, it's not Gaelic football. You want to be a good runner now to be a footballer. That's all you have.
An awful lot of hand passing today.
Now, isn't it sad when you see a guy passing a ball back to a goalie? If you'd done that in our time, you'd be taken off. Because in our time, you were told, Paddy, or doesn't matter who it was, kick it. And you'll kick it 60 or 70 yards. You're passing it back to a goalie. You're passing it back instead of going forward. You're not going forward anymore. But that's the way the rules is gone now. But it's not a good game anymore, I don't think.
Paddy, all the centre of attention has been the Cork hurlers on strike and being backed up by the Cork footballers. But we also had a piece of it above in Offaly,
right,
where your own footballers went on strike there a couple of months ago and got rid of your own manager, a great legendary Offaly footballer.
That's right.
Bad signs for the game.
That shouldn't happen now, Weeshie. That shouldn't happen. As a matter of fact, in Offaly, Kevin Kilmurry won more than anyone in Offaly won. And he was managing the Offaly team, and they got to a Leinster final. And what happened? They got rid of him. And you had Paul Kelly, another great manager. What happened? Got rid of him. And they had Fahy Galway, another great man. What happened? Got rid of him. Players getting rid of them. I wouldn't mind if they were winning anything, but winning nothing. You see, I was just looking at the paper there. Tipperary beat them 116-18 last Sunday. That's a good sign for Offaly football. No disrespect now to Tipperary.
And these are the men that went on strike because they were blaming the manager.
They were blaming the manager.
Yeah.
And, sir, how can you manage a team if you only get 4 or 5 weeks out of starting out? How can you manage teams? That's what happened with Richie Connor. They didn't want the Richie Connor.
Has it left a bad taste in the mouth in Offaly, Paddy?
Well, no, I wouldn't be in favour of that at all. Like, we won. I played under lots of trainers and managers. And look at when Fatty Gilloli took over the team in 71 or late 69, late 70s or early 71, we were training in Eton Derry and we all said, look at, he's the trainer, he's the boss, we're going to do whatever he says. And that's what happens. And it's not the trainer can do nothing if the players don't pull with one another. And it's as simple as that. The players should have no say in it anyway. That's my opinion.
Paddy, first of all, who was the best Offaly footballer you ever saw?
Well, sure, I'll have to say Mick Casey and Paddy were two of the best that Offaly ever produced. Then you had Pete. Oh, look, you could name them all day, and it wouldn't be fair to single out anyone. But in my time, I was born and reared with the Caseys, and they were my idols, and that was it. And
outside of Offaly and Leinster, who was the best Leinster footballer?
Well, it's very hard to know. You had great men. You had Paddy O'Brien and Meade was a great fullback. You could go on all day, Weeshie, talking about them. As I said before, Stephen White, and there was another guy there I thought very highly of. He was from Jim McDonnelly Cavan. You know, there was certain fellas, but two of the greatest interfield men of all time in my time was Mick O'Connell and Jimmy Keever of Derry. Yeah. I'd pick them on any team.
Yeah,
They were my two men anyway.
Now, there was one family in Offaly who were behind Offaly football for decades. They were the Furlong family. Martin Furlong, of course, was one of the greatest goalkeepers of all time. You played with him, and he's an American now. Talk to me about the family and how many were in it, because one of them went to America and played American football, and they were a great family for the county, Paddy, weren't they? Talk to me about them.
Well, you had Mickey Furlong now. He played with Offaly before Tom and Martin came up, and Mickey was a great footballer, a great forward, and he played against Meade in the 54 Leinster final that Offaly were beaten, of course. But he was one of the best forwards that was in the game at the time, and he went emigrated to America. And then you had Tom Furlong came up, and he played with us one Sunday against Galway. He had a fantastic game, and we beat Galway and Tullamore. No, was it Galway? I think it was, yeah. We beat Galway and Tullamore, and we let Dublin go to America or something like that anyway. Tom Furlong, and he was a great footballer. And we lost him to America. And then, of course, Martin came along. And as you know about Martin, he was one of the best goalies that ever I played with or ever seen playing for.
He was an outstanding. Talk to me about him. Why was he so good, and what had he?
Well, I don't know. I tell you why he was so good. He was so brave. He feared nothing, and he'd a great man. He was a great reader at the game. He'd nearly know where the ball was going to go and where he wasn't. His reflexes were great. He was something like the soccer goalies now, the reflex. And you know, that back that time now, there was no such thing as training goalies to go there, here, or anywhere. But Martin was a natural goalkeeper. Now, I never forget one evening we were playing Tullamore in a championship match, and Martin came to mark me. Wasn't that something? Myself and Furlong marking one another. But anyway, we didn't fall out anyway. We were the best of friends. And any time I go to New York, it was the first man I meet up with was Furlong. And any time he comes home, sure, we're always together. Like, he's a great friend as well as everything else.
And of course, he won his All-Ireland medal with you, and then he stayed on, of course, in 1982, that legendary final when Offaly beat Kerry, and he made the save from Mickey Sheehan from the penalty.
That's right.
That was probably the winning of, whatever about Derby's goal, the penalty was probably the winning of the game.
That was the winning of it, Weishi, because Kerry were on a roll at the time. And if Mickey Sheehan had to score that, or if Furlong hadn't to block it, say, Kerry were home and dry. But that's the ifs and buts of the game. And of course, as you know, they all said that Derby pushed Tommy Dial. I don't think he did anyway. In my book, he didn't push him anyway, but that's history now. And sure, it met Derby, and it met Offaly the same day. And sure, if Offaly didn't beat Kerry that day, if they didn't beat Kerry that day, in my opinion, Kerry won 11 All-Irelands in a row. Now, that is to put football out of the country, in my book. It was great to say somebody can come up and beat them.
Yeah.
Now, I know Kerry wanted 5 in a row. Like, it was very seldom done, which I don't know whether it was ever done or not. Maybe Wexford or Kildare back in old God's time done it. But if Kerry had to win that game, football was gone, because they'd have won 10 or 11 in a row.
And what's said down here in Kerry, and all Kerry people have said, the great thing about Offaly beating Kerry that day was the fact that Matt Connor won an All-Ireland medal. Now, in my estimation, Matt Connor was one of the top 5 greatest footballers that I have ever seen since 1955. Now, I rate him one of the top 5 of all time that I've seen. Talk to me about Matt Connor, and why was he so great? And am I exaggerating?
Well, I don't think you are. Like, Matt Connor played against the great Kerry teams, as you know yourself. And that's how you know whether a footballer is a footballer or not. And in one Sunday in Croke Park, I think he scored 2 goals and 10 points, or 3 goals and 10, I'm not really sure. 2-10, wasn't that right? Mm-hmm. Now, what other forward in Ireland ever done that he can carry? I don't think anyone ever done it in their lives. He was a genius, and it was a shocking, sad day for Offaly football, and for football in general, to see Matt the way he had that bit of an accident. Well, it wasn't a bit of an accident, it was a bad accident, and left him in a wheelchair, because Matt was one of the nicest guys under the sun.
Paddy, you come to Kerry an awful lot. You have an awful lot of friends down here. I met you inside in Jimmy O'Brien's great GA pub one or two occasions.
Well, any time I come to Kerry, I go to Jimmy O'Brien. I was in Jimmy O'Brien's the other night, and I met Ambrose O'Donovan. I heard him on the radio then on Sunday, Ambrose, and then I called to see Sean Foley out in Kilorgan, which his brother and two or three brothers played with is that North Kerry or South Kerry?
That's Lone Rangers,
that's right. They won the championship in 58 anyway, he told me. He showed me a photograph of the team. Yeah. And then I have Donny O'Sullivan down here. I'd meet him fairly regular. Paddy Fogarty, of course, and the wife. And
Joe Cahan was a great friend of yours.
Oh, sure. Joe Cahan was a big friend of mine. Anytime I went to Listowel races, I used to call to see Joe. And another great friend of mine, and we used to have many a battle, was John Dowling. I came down to John Dowling's funeral. He was a friend of mine. He took me all round Tralee one day to show me all the GAA grounds and the whole lot. Oh, I had a great time for John Dowling. There were tough men on the field, but off the field, a Kerry man on the field is a devil and off the field is a gentleman. So that's it, the same as ourselves.
You keep yourself very fit, Paddy, all the time.
Yeah, I...
You stuck in greyhounds a lot.
Yes, if I had... I have a good few greyhounds and I'm out early every morning with them. I walk them and we... gallop them, as the saying goes, when I retired there 10 or 12 years ago, I took up the dogs, and that's where I'm at still. And I come down to Kerry maybe once or twice a year, and I enjoy it down here because not alone yourself, but everyone down here, they're all great friends of mine. I met Tom Long the other night, as a matter of fact.
And you met the Gooch?
And I met the Gooch last night, and I was going to have a great chat with the Gooch, some other guy from Westmead, but...
How would you fare now if you were marking the Gooch? If you could wind the clock back now, and how would you mark him?
Well, now, Jimmy O'Brien last night, he introduced me to the Gooch, you see. He says, I didn't have to introduce me, I knew them. God says, hey, Gooch, you were lucky you weren't out in our time.
How would you mark him today?
Sure, it's very hard to mark him, isn't it? With today's game, you couldn't mark
him. What advice would you give a man going out next Sunday to mark the Gooch?
Well, the only thing advice I'd have to say, if I was a cornerback and marking the Gooch, is one step in front. We were always taught to have one step in front. And if you get the ball, there's nothing the Gooch can do about it.
Yeah.
Or anyone, as a matter of fact. Out in front, but then you have to have men behind you to cover, if you know
how
what
you
I mean.
How'd you rate him?
Oh, he's one of the best. And a nice guy behind it all, I must say that.
Now, Paddy, we're talking here on St. Patrick's Day, 09, and it's a beautiful day, sun beaming down in the mountains and the lakes behind here in the Hotel Europe. You're looking out the window here. Fabulous place here in Killarney, isn't it?
Oh, it's a fabulous place, yeah. But sure, that's back in 1964, I came down here on my honeymoon. And that time we wouldn't be in the Europe, I tell you. There was no money out at the time. But we stayed up with Mrs. Gearn, I think was her name, in the Irish Cottage. Yeah. And I still see the Irish Cottage still there up on the Muckross Road.
That's right, yeah.
And would you believe it, Wishy? We went to a mass here in the cathedral the following Sunday, and there was a priest by the name of Father O'Donoghue, and I hope he's listening. I wish you well, Father, that I used to play football with in Brendan's.
Yeah.
And he wasn't saying mass, and he took us round the Ring of Kerry back in 1964, and that's a long time ago.
Now you're off to see the Munster College's final today, Killarney and the Skelliga playing Killoglan in Killarney here. You're off to see that. Looking forward to that?
I'm looking forward, yeah. I'm going along with my friend Paddy Fogarty. He says he's calling here and he's going to pick me up, and we'll go look at that and let the ladies go off and look at fashion or do what they like. But anyway, we'll go look at that, and then we'll hit Jimmy O'Brien's tonight for a session.
Listen, Paddy, it was lovely talking to you and come here. Wonderful memories. You have a great memory. You have a great recollection and things. It's always great to see you come to Kerry. And it was a great honour and a privilege to talk to Paddy McCormack, the Iron Man from Road.
Thank you very much, Weishi. And all my old friends in Kerry, I wish you all well.